brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com. I'm your announcer today, Miss Loretta Evans of the First Protection Baptist Church in Quincy, Texas. And in just a moment, we'll be joined by our co-host, Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com in Forestville, California, and Tanjaman Ali of TanjamanAli.com in Mission Viejo, California. This week, we will be joined by a special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Bootlickers, Papa Newt of PapaNewt.com in Columbus, Nebraska, bringing us today's topic on working with St. Expedite. Afterwards, they will take your call and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African-American folk magic practices of hoodoo, conjure, or root work as divined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodoos of our time. You can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and called into the show, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a minute, but first, let's catch up with our co-hosts, Miss Kat and Conjureman Ali. Miss Kat?
Hi, Miss Loretta. It's so nice to hear your lovely voice. Well, our regular announcer, Papa Newt, is taking a break from announcing because he is our guest, as Miss Loretta said. And, of course, the guest can't do his own announcements. So we are very happy to have from the Now You Know show, Miss Loretta is our announcer, and she'll be moving us right along as the show moves on. Now, before we get to the show itself, I'm going to give a couple of little touch points of my own. I just wanted to say a happy hail and farewell to Coral, who has worked at Lucky Mojo for quite a while, started off as a customer, became a student, and then became an employee. And she has been commuting a great long distance to work at the shop and finally has found herself a job at a Chinese medicinal tea company only a five-minute drive from where she lives. So today is Coral's last day, and we had a little party for her, and we bid her farewell, and I hope we see her again. She'll come by and shop, I'm sure. But it was wonderful having Coral in the shop as a worker, and we wish her all the best at her new job formulating Chinese medicinal tinctures. So, of course, you know, nature abhors a vacuum. So Coral's place on the roster has been taken by Sukinya, who I have mentioned, I think, in the past, but maybe not. Sukinya is a new trainee and is coming on where Coral was. And we also have hired another person to work in the office, in the back office, and that is Nicole. Not to be confused with Nikki, who also works in the back office. Now we have a Nikki and a Nicole. We also have two Leslies on the property, Leslie Lowell at the shop and Leslie Ann Forrester at the church. So you have your choice of Leslies, you have your choice of Nikki's, but there is only one Sukinya. And there was only one Coral. So things are changing, things are moving along. You know how it is in retail. People come, people go, and we do our best to keep everybody working and working hard on getting people's packages made and their products to them as fast as we can. We're going to be holding an apprenticeship workshop May 9th through 13th. If you want to come out for that, and if you're a graduate of the Hoodoo Correspondence course that I teach, you can come out. It is free, but you got to sign up now because we're getting down to the wire. We have a lot of apprentices signed up, but there's still a couple of slots left. We will be doing week two, which is how to make hoodoo oils, how to make hoodoo incenses, and how to make mojo bags. And this is hands-on training, and it is free. And Of course, we have employees at the shop who will be taking those apprenticeships, but also people come from all across the country to teach and learn. And some people come back year after year, even though they've already taken the apprentice, just because they like the companionship, the fellowship, the fun, the free potluck, the sitting around hearing me rant and rave about the history of the world and the history of hoodoo in specific. And I want to thank Heidi Simpson and Donnell Allen for working on the apprenticeship, and also Eileen Edler for pitching in when Yose could not make the meeting. We have meetings ahead of schedule on these things, and they're all helping. And Donnell Allen has taken the apprenticeship, and she just vowed to come back and help set it up. And we're going to have a work party getting together all of the things we need for the apprenticeship, and that will be very soon. So that's going to be wonderful. Now, of course, the apprenticeship leads into the festival. And the festival is open to the public. You do not need to be a graduate of my course to come to the Hoodoo Heritage Festival. And that festival is held every year in May. And this year, it is May 14th and 15th. And you can go to hoodooheritagefestival.com and read all about it. We have all the pictures up now for the four books that we are coming out with. And those four books are Legends of Incense, Urban Oil Magic, a 1936 book, restored, revised, and retypeset, and rescanned and made beautiful again. And that is by the anonymous Louis de Clermont, with editorial help by me. We have Crystal Magic by Reverend John St. Germain, the voice of the Crystal Silence League. And this book is on crystal gazing and divination, crystal magic, silent influence with the crystal, crystal healing, the use of chakra colors. Very amazing book. No other book like it has ever been published. We have The Sporting Life by Professor Charles Porterfield. Now, he's the guy who runs the Now You Know show, where Miss Loretta is usually one of the team. And The Sporting Life is how to help yourself with hoodoo from the streets to the sheets, and it is a book about how to use hoodoo in prostitution, drug dealing, bootlegging, pimping, and, gambling and the sporting life generally. It's a wonderful book. And then the fourth book is North Asian Magic by David Shi. And some of you will remember him because he has come out to the Hoodoo Heritage Festival, and he's going to be teaching a workshop on North Asian magic, and that book will be published by Yippie. It's a folklore book, and it's going to be a very eye-opening book because very few people know about the magic of Mongolia or the magic of Manchuria and the magic of Siberia. And this is going to be that. So we'll talk more later about the festival. There's many other events happening at the festival, but I just wanted to cover those four books. And they are going to be given away free to people who come and buy tickets for the festival. After that, they will go on sale at Lucky Mojo and other metaphysical stores. So that's my news for the day. And like I said, we'll talk more about the festival a little bit later. So I want to welcome Ali. How are you doing?
Thanks, Kat. I'm doing quite well. I'm very happy to hear the festival coming together so nicely with some wonderful books coming out. I'm always excited. Probably the most I'm excited about is the books. As much as I adore and love the festival, and it is fantastic, but I have to say my favorite part, in addition to the community, is the books. You know, I love the books that come out every year, and they're fantastic. I am quite busy doing well. I have been trying to keep up with emails and all sorts of lovely things, but otherwise doing well, enjoying the influx of clients that are coming in during this spring, looking for a variety of different works. Interestingly enough, and again, we talk about this all the time, it seems to be the cleansing season. So everyone is really asking for cleansing work. Everyone's looking for uncrossing work. And I think people are looking for a fresh start, even though it's only been a few months into the year. And I'm enjoying doing that work, really, really enjoying doing that work.
Well, that's great. You are a stalwart and steadfast guy, and I'm glad to have you back, in your regular slot here on the show. I'm sorry you will not be at the festival this year, but we'll get you the books. Don't ever worry. I know you're a book person.
The first thing I do is order those things, but I will make my return next year.
Yeah, I know. Well, you're going to return next year. That's great. All right, well, let's bring in our guest. And this is kind of a funny thing. I mean, it's kind of tingly funny. Papa Newt, well, welcome to the guest seat. How are you doing?
Thank you. It's kind of amazing to be here at the big table.
Yeah. Well, tell us a little bit about yourself. We know that you have your own practice, and although you take a very humble role here as an announcer, Papa Newt, you are a member of AIR. You have run shops. You run an online shop right now, and you do readings for people. Just tell us a little bit about your practice out there in the wilds of Nebraska.
Well, I did grow up in a Catholic faith, and though there was a period of time as exploring spiritual traditions, and those from a small town often do, there was rebellion. And so I explored other traditions of magical systems like Wicca and whatnot. But, you know, I found mm-hmm. that myself going back to my roots, and while I have grown much more than what I've learned during my catechism days, I've found a lot of strength within utilizing what I have learned and have worked with throughout my life. I've had my mom has prayed to St. Anthony. I've seen miracles of things being found that were completely lost. And so I can't deny that aspect of myself. So I.
Wow. Well, see, this is the wonderful thing about the community that mm-hmm. we belong to. Many people come to hoodoo from outside African American
mm-hmm.
culture.
Mm-hmm.
I did, as I've often told people, I'm Jewish. And Miss Loretta, of course, you're a Baptist, right, Miss Loretta?
Yes, ma'am. That's correct.
Right. And but I believe Miss Loretta is a white Baptist. And Contraman Ali, you were raised in a what did you call your religion? Muslim and plus something.
Sabian. And it's kind of an older tradition of the Middle East.
Yeah, right. And so we all come into these from different aspects. But hoodoo is a warm community and a fairly open community, and you don't have to be black to be a practitioner of hoodoo. But many of us find that working in hoodoo also strengthens our own family background. So what mm-hmm. you're saying, Papa Newt, is that your Catholic background has been somewhat strengthened as a magical practice through your knowledge and use of hoodoo. Am I interpreting that correctly?
That's correct. I've found that really, especially going through your course and even taking the time to read past books like Puckett's book and such authors, and just gaining that perspective of other people's experience, what they have gone through, and just even having a deep respect for this folk tradition has provided a lot of strength.
Well, you know, what I tell people here, there's a lot of people who come into hoodoo because they're interested in a living tradition that is mm-hmm. vital, that is ongoing, that has a lot of power behind it. But the first question I always ask them is, what is your ancestry? And I don't mean that to push them away. What I mean to do is say, bring your ancestors with you when you come. And so let's ask Papa Newt, what is your ancestral tradition? You mentioned being raised Catholic, but where would you call yourself ethnically?
Oh, goodness. I'm exploring that aspect. My oldest brother has done his DNA, so I'm learning a lot of from the Czech Republic, German and Irish mixture is the dominant areas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I would say you do have a sort of a Czech look to you. You know, we do the homework parties where we grade the homework from the course. And, of course, the first homework is the one, tell us something about the folklore of your own family. And this last Friday we had a Croatian student turn in homework, and we all just sat there with our mouths open going, who knew? I predict that Yippee will have a book on Croatian magic soon, because they got a lot going on in Croatia, and I know they do in Czechoslovakia, I know they do in Yugoslavia, Macedonia, Hungary, all those areas of Eastern Europe, the Balkans and that area, their magic is very wonderful, very interesting. And in working on that book, North Asian Magic, with David Shee, I was finding spells that were Siberian that I see were already in trolldom because of the influence of the Finnish people on the Norwegian and Swedish people. And it's really amazing how folk magic around the world is like that. Now,
that's
then over these very indigenous traditions, there are what we might call colonizing traditions, and this is where we get into Saint Expedite. So the Catholics, you know, quote, took over, or they changed people's religion. They had a bunch of political clout behind them at certain centuries, and yet some of their saints become warped and changed as they hit the ground in the new areas. So Saint Expedite is one of these interesting saints. He's usually we would say that in the old days, the place that he was most venerated was Italy, Portugal, and Spain. And that was kind of a little bit in France. Yeah, that was the real area of Saint Expedite worship. You can find lots of old novenas for him from France and Italy. He's shown dressed as a Roman centurion, so he comes from the late Roman Empire when people and even the emperors were converting to Christianity, and of course they were feeding Christians to the lions, so he comes from that contested period. The interesting thing about him is that nowadays there's a lot of people trying to claim that he was a banned saint. Not true. He was never banned. He's a regular Catholic Church saint. The only problem with him is they don't know what his street name was before he was called Saint Expedite. In other words, they don't know who his parents were, nothing. They know he existed, but they don't know who he was. So with that introduction, I'm going to turn this over to Papa Newt. Tell us how you came to get... Oh, and one other thing before I do that. You're going to hear me say his name about 16 different ways, because that's what I was taught. Never say his name two times the same way in a row. Saint Expeditus, Saint Expeditus, Saint Expedite, Saint Expedite. I can keep going, but let's turn it over to Papa Newt.
Well, how I was first introduced to him, and you know, I was thinking about this the other day, because when in the Catholic Church where we go through the sacraments, you know, we're supposed to pick saint names, and I remember one of my, I think the confirmation process. I remember my one of my teachers bringing books outside of the church, or not really church approved, so to speak. And I do remember seeing that image because it was very distinct. You have somebody stepping on a crow and holding a cross. You know, it stood out in my mind. But that was really about it. It wasn't until, gosh, I'm going to say about the mid-2000s, I had just left college because I had a really good friend commit suicide, and that was a tough time for me. And I moved to Omaha, and during that time, I was facing some financial struggles, and he came into my life again. So not having really much of anything besides a little 4-inch altar, red altar candle, and just a little very small card. I don't even know how I got it. I just started saying a prayer to him and calling upon for his aid. And I was just shocked. And in about 2 days, everything started to turn around drastically. So since then, I've just like, you know what, there's something here. I've seen saint work, but this was amazing. So I've kept up my regular prayers to him. I now do maintain a yearly setting up an altar to celebrate his feast day, which is actually 9 days from today.
Oh, when is his feast day?
19th of April.
19th of April. Okay. Well, in the chat room, people are saying some things here, and I'm going to open this up to a little comments from the chat. And thank you, our chat folks, for keeping us on our toes here. So people are saying, why is his name said different all the time? Well, I'm just going to quickly go into that. Because of the different nations that he was popular in, if you say it in Latin, Expeditus, if you say it in English, the word looks like expedite with an E on the end, which means to make things move fast, and that's what he's known for, making things move fast. He is a folk saint in the sense that there is not there are no a church is dedicated to him. However, his statue appears in many churches in Europe and in Americas. So it's not that he's unknown, it's just that he's a less often appealed to saint.
Yes.
And but he is wherever he's found, people pronounce his name different. It's like Saint Clare and Santa Clara, who's also called
yes.
Saint Clara. Mm-hmm. It's just a different pronunciation. But in his case, there's a little bit of a fun because he was a guy who's kind of associated with wordplay. And readings by Wen asks, so he was a soldier. Yes, he was a Roman mm-hmm. centurion, and he's always shown as costumed as a Roman centurion. And like there are a number of other Roman centurion saints, Saint Florian and so forth. So he's one of
Martin.
A few of those. Saint Martin Caballero is another one, otherwise known as Saint Martin of Tours, right? So he's shown standing on a crow, and the crow has this little flag coming out, or a little word balloon coming out of its mouth that says crass, which means tomorrow. And he holds a cross which says hodi, which means today. And the idea is don't put off till tomorrow
mm-hmm.
what you can do today. And he usually is said to mean don't wait to convert to Christianity, because he
yes.
was from that era when conversions were happening. And he's holding a palm frond. And the palm frond means he was a martyr. And that's what
mm-hmm.
we know about him. Okay?
Yeah, I think a particularly interesting point you bring up here is like the role of as a folk saint. So what this means, right, is not that he's banned. You hear this kind of language a lot, and I think it's because people aren't familiar with how Catholicism exactly works as a religion. So Catholicism as a religion, as an organization, has regularly gone through every 100 or so years through the saints, because there's so many of them. And they try to establish a sort of historical veracity to the saints. Like, did the saints exist? And what happens is that they can't find certain historical elements, or they can't find saint names. The saints are kind of moved away in importance. That doesn't mean they get banned or anything like that. You find this with Saint Cyprian as a prime example of this. Saint Cyprian of Carthage is very popular in the Eastern Orthodox Church, and he's even accepted in the Western Christian Church or the Catholic Church. But Saint Cyprian of Antioch, who is kind of known as the sorcerer's saint, is one of those saints that they can't find a lot of historical evidence for. Saint Martha is another one, right? Like, they have some about it. And so what happens is the saints kind of move around in regularity. The other thing that's very important to recognize here about saints is that they do have a colonial element to them, right? So they come into Latin America and various other places as imported saints. But I don't see them as necessarily getting warped, but what happens is they become indigenous, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is the beauty of indigenous cultures, is their ability to survive, right? Rather than completely get wiped out or be transformed, what they do is they absorb and make it their own. And so saints become local. Saints become associated with new legends and new stories and new ideas. And that, to me, speaks to the power of spirits themselves evolving with us. The spirit world is not disconnected from our historical reality. They exist alongside us, and they respond to our needs. As we as a society need certain things, spirits respond to that. Anthropologists call them performer saints, right? These are saints that respond to the need of people. Why does the Virgin become the saint of Mexico, right? Why does this one local spirit become really popular in a wider country? Because they respond to the people's needs. And so that's very important to understand, that your relationship with a spirit is not based on a set of associations, right, that you read in a book. It starts there, but then they respond to the needs that you have in your life. So saints become quite personal. They become, and not just saints, but any spirits, they become very personal. They become connected to you in very intimate ways, responding in intimate ways. The next thing you need to know about saints, and this is the final thing I'll say, is that there are really kind of two types of saints, right? And this is related to the historical evolution of Christianity. There are saints that suffer, right? Saints that are known for being martyred, saints that have been subject to violence. And this happens during times where Christianity itself is persecuted or facing violence, right? These are the saints we call out to for succor, for aid. Saint Dimphna is an example of this, right? These are saints of healing, saints of restoration. But then there's active saints, saints that go out and do things. These saints emerge when martyrdom is kind of transformed into a more warrior concept. Now, Saint Espedidi was also killed and martyred, but he's a soldier. So he's an active saint, meaning he goes out and does things. He makes things happen faster, whereas Saint Dimphna is a saint that you call upon for healing and succor. So that's something to be aware of, is that there is this difference in saints, right? You're not going to be calling on Saint Dimphna to bring that lost package home. Something to bear in mind.
That's a wonderful, wonderful thing to say. One of the things about Saint Expediti that I really like is he has a long list of customs associated with him. And these customs are found all around the world, wherever he's venerated. People pass them along, and again, they pass them along without respect to church doctrine. Although there are novenas to him, they are novenas to him as a martyr. But these other customs have to do with the folk practices. And I'm going to mention two of them. One of them is that Saint Expediti likes anything red or white. And so cinnamon red hots can be given as an offering to him. Other people say that because he does things in a hurry, you can give him coffee. But when he successfully performs an accomplishment for you, you are to give him pound cake. And when I was very young, I was actually told it had to be Sara Lee brand pound cake. And I believed that because, you know, I wasn't a Catholic. The guy tells me, give him Sara Lee pound cake. And he said, you can buy the Sara Lee frozen pound cake, and you just thaw and slice off a little slice and put it out for him, and you can keep the rest of it frozen. I thought that was very cool. The other thing I was told about Saint Expediti was that he likes flowers. And there is some thought that, although there's no record that he was ever a gay man, but some of the people who've painted his picture tend to make him slightly effeminate, pretty looking face. And so he has gotten a reputation of wanting flowers and being a very gentle person, even though he's a soldier.
Yeah.
And so when you burn a glass candle for him, when the glass is empty, and if he has given you the request in the time it took the candle to burn, and you do want him to work in a hurry, you promise him, if my request is granted by the time this candle goes out, I will fill this glass with water and I'll put fresh flowers in it for you.
Mm.
And if he doesn't, well, you just don't give him the flowers and that's the end of it.
Right. And, you know, and I've learned in my experience, especially that time where I was really struggling, I didn't just really have much to give or to offer. At that time, I just gave what I could as an offering if it came through. And, of course, did it right away. So I always tell people that they're in a position of, you know, they're in a position to give, make sure that you don't skimp. If you promise a pound cake and flowers, give it to them.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're starting out and if, you know, if you don't have much to give what you can. That's really important.
You know, some of the old... Oh, can I just say that? Some of the old accounts of Saint Expediti were collected by Harry Hyatt. He went to New Orleans, and he interviewed some Catholic practitioners of hoodoo. These were African-American Catholics. And a couple of them mentioned, and this is an interesting New Orleans tradition, I don't know that it's found everywhere, that if you promise something to Saint Expediti and you don't give it, he will kill someone out of your house. This goes back to him being a soldier. This guy don't mess around. So make him a promise you cannot keep.
That's so funny. I've heard a very similar thing, and that's actually what I was going to mention, is that we find out that, you know, again, this goes to the folk tradition of saints, that certain saints are quite transactional. Certain saints are different. For example, Saint Francis of Assisi. Some people say that he won't work for anyone that is from North Africa or from the Middle East, because he's part of an order that was quite hostile, right? And others say, no, he's very gentle and he's very kind. You see your other legends, for example, St. Espedite is one of those saints that will work with anyone, even if you're not Catholic, because he has a transactional nature, right? As long as you make a proper offering and petition and you're sincere, he'll answer it. But if you don't, I heard he takes something away from you of equal value of what he's given. Now, I haven't heard the death one. Other saints are associated with that for sure. But what I heard was, for example, that he'll take something of equal value away from you. And that just goes to show you how these folk traditions and stories are, they travel and people develop them, and these ideas, from their experiences. And people's experiences vary, but there is a core truth to every saint, and it's important to honor and recognize that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And you just said something too, St. Expedite does work with people that are not of the Catholic faith. And what's really important, especially for those that may be listening to this or listening in the archives and they come from a pagan-type background, is remember to respect the tradition you came from. You don't have to, if you're not comfortable going God the Father, God the Son. I mean, I do three Our Fathers, three Hail Marys, and three Glory Bees before I call upon a saint. That's just, me. But, just make sure that you're not going, in the name of Hecate, I call upon, no, stop.
Yeah.
In my time at a metaphysical shop, I've had that. People, it's like, no, if nothing else, just call upon the name of the creator we both adore. Something along those lines if the whole Catholic part bothers you.
Well, that's
so
what
true.
I tell people, too. If you don't want to serve the God that saint served, then just don't approach that saint.
Yeah.
Because he's holding up the cross, man. It's pretty obvious, right? So, I mean.
The key is not to treat saints like objects to be used. They're not vending machines. If you say the right words, out pops out what you want. They're living spirits that exist within a culture, within a tradition, that have histories of their own. And even if you're not participating in that particular tradition, you have to be respectful of that tradition, right? So recognize that St. Espedite belongs to the Catholic religion, that he is the saint of thousands and hundreds of thousands of people, the millions of people around the world. And he's sacred to them. When you refuse to acknowledge that, what you're doing is you're disrespecting not only the tradition, but the spirit. And my experience has been that they are not particularly down with that, that you will have a negative response. So you hear these kind of horror stories of, I prayed this and something blowback happened. It's not blowback. You just pissed off the spirit because you were a dick.
Yeah. Well, and I will briefly say I've also had another experience. Somebody that comes from a very ceremonial background, where you command the spirits. No. You invite them in. Just respect. Mm-hmm. It's all about respect.
Well, in the chat room, Troll asks, do saints like what the Pope says? Do all saints like magic? The answer is some yes and some no.
Yep.
There were saints who opposed various popes, and there were saints who supported various popes. Saints are a convention, you might say, of diverse delegates from the world of spirit. And some saints are more copacetic with some people than others. I, as I said, am Jewish, but I work very well with St. Expedite. I've always had good luck and good results with him. He's particularly used by people who need to make the rent or who need to make a bank deposit of a certain amount on a certain date. If he doesn't do it, you just, give him a salute and say thanks for trying. But if he does, give him the reward you promised and try again next week and see if he keeps going for you. And I really do find him to be a saint who works with everyone. He's also considered to be the saint against procrastination because the crow has the word crass coming out of its mouth. And crass means tomorrow. And in Latin times, they thought that crows, we say crows, say caw, caw. But they said crows said crass, crass, which means tomorrow, tomorrow. So the crow was a symbol of procrastination. Pro meaning for, crass, tomorrow, ination, doing it that way. So it's for tomorrowism. And so when you feel that you are delaying on a project, that you're dragging your heels, and that little self-talk and dialogue that's going on inside your head that's mm-hmm. messing you up. And, well, if only I had a fresh cup of tea, then I could do my editing. Or, no, you know, I need to have my heater switched over. And, you know, it's, oh, but I, you know, why my shoes aren't right. That's procrastination, right? Oh, I got to go check Facebook. Just ask for St. Expediti to put an end to it. Hody, do it today.
And also make sure that if you're asking for his help, that you are taking action. Because even from my own experience, there is stuff that I should have been doing before I even asked him for help, but I was putting it off. You know, that's just, you know, definitely make sure you're taking that action.
Yeah. Now, there's another a question I have for you, Papa Newt. Since you work with St. Expediti on behalf of clients, do you take requests? In other words, his feast day is coming up. Are you going to be having an altar for him this year?
Yes. There is this store in Omaha that they wanted me to do a little class, so I'm going to set up a little space to honor him there at the store. I won't be able to be burning vigils as I usually do, but I will be taking prayer requests and petitions to have on the altar, which people can email me at info@papanewt.com or locate me on Facebook at the Papa Newt Facebook page and send me a message through there, and I'll be more than happy to place the petitions on the altar.
Great. Well, and I do have to say something like about that, too. We all think of saint veneration as being intimately connected with candles, but of course it isn't always candles. You can do an altar and for a saint with flowers, for instance. He likes flowers. And so if you feel that that's where you're going to go, that's where you would go. And Miss Aida in the chat said, is it true that Expediti does not work with love issues? I've never been told that. I've heard he's better for money. What do you know, Papa Newt?
I never have, and I've never thought of that. Or I personally, this is just a personal thing, I don't like to, just because I keep thinking, I've had clients that come to me that were more obsessive with love.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's healthy.
Well, if he's going to work, he's going to work quickly, I think is what you got to say.
Exactly.
All right. Well, thank you, Papa Newt, for that topic. Now you're listening to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rework Hour, and we're going to go to our announcer, Miss Loretta.
Thank you, Ms. Kat. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with your hosts, Catherine Ironwood and Conjure Man Ali. And this week's special guest, Papa Newt, will be right back. We'll be taking calls from our listeners, answering their questions through spiritual divination and prescribing down-home conjure remedies and remediation. Our call-in clients are selected from among those who have filled out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo form at form.luckymojo.com. You can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or via telephone by dialing 818-394-8535. And if you have filled out a client questionnaire at the form, please dial in now to 818-394-8535 and press 1 to let us know that you're available to be on the air. We will select callers by their area code, and if your area code is announced, we'd just like you to say hello and let me, your announcer, Miss Loretta, read a brief description of your situation before turning it over to our hosts. Now it's time to go to the phones and talk to our first client. Our first caller is Andy, calling from area code 303. Are you there, Andy?
I'm here.
Hello.
Hi.
Andy. So how are you today?
I'm good. Thank you.
Now, I see that you have not, Andy is a long-time listener, first-time caller, and has not had a reading from Conjure Man or Miss Kat before about this or any other situation. And she writes, I am 5 years divorced and seeing someone now for the last 2 years. He's 15 years older than me, set in his ways, and not very bendable when it comes to compromise. He wants to get married and have me move into his home he shared with his ex-wife and children. I want to sell our home and buy one together. It's a stalemate. When I think of giving in and just moving in with him, my stomach feels sick. I know it's not the right thing to do. What can I do to push the marriage up and get him to move. Over to you, Miss Kat.
All right. Thank you, Miss Loretta. Well, Andy, I have a couple of questions before we start the readings and the root work for you. Number one, about how old are you? You said he's older than you, 15 years older, but about how old are you?
49.
All right. So you both are mature people of mature years.
Right.
And what sign of the zodiac are you?
Aries.
Aries. And what sign of the zodiac is the gentleman?
Pisces.
All right. Well, an Aries should win over a Pisces any old day. And I say that with all due love to my beautiful Pisces friends, but they're like little silvery fish in the water. And you can get them to move if you have to work on them. Now, he's mm-hmm. stubborn, and so there's probably something else going on in his life. So I'm going to do a reading first, and it's just going to be a brief look at the cards of this situation. In other words,
okay.
how is it that this is going to flow? But I do have to say, and I mean this most sincerely, that what you get in this situation is going to be most important will be the root work, because your question was, how do you do this? But I'm just going to say, the question I'm going to ask is it possible? And if so, what will be the thing that kind of can flip it? Okay? Oh, I got three cards. First card is the Chariot. That's an interesting card. The Chariot shows a man in a war chariot. He's a warrior. And he has on a starry crown, moons as epaulets, waxing and waning moons. He has on a belt of the signs of the zodiac, the asteroids hanging from another belt, and he's in a chariot. He has crossed a river. He is beyond a walled city. He has two sphinxes to pull his chariot, and one is white and one is black, one is male and one is female, and they are slightly divergent in the two directions that they're aimed. They're not exactly both pointed front forward. And on his chariot are some emblems, a winged wheel, winged sun disk, which means time is flying, and a wheel with an axle through it, which means roll forward, right? And he's got big wheels on his chariot. This is called All Dressed Up and Nowhere to Go, or The Way is Prepared but the Hookup Not Yet Made. This is a delay card. This card always means a delay. It almost seems to me that he's stalling, because until he's married to you, he will not feel that he can move. In other words, he's prepared. He will move if he's married. But until the marriage, he's not going to move. He's waiting, and it's a delay. The next card is the Hand of God coming out of a cloud, holding a big golden coin. This is the Ace of Pentacles, over a garden. Now, the garden has a red rose hedge around it, and inside it little white lilies. And there's a path leading through the garden out of the garden. And if you walk that path, you'll go out under a beautiful arch of red roses, and you'll see the distant mountains. So again, he is willing to move on, but he's attached to the place. He raised his children there, and that's the lilies always represent the children. He had love there. He's very sentimentally attached, but there's also an issue of money. He's holding that big coin, or the god is holding that big coin. Is he retired yet?
He's retired, and the house is paid off completely.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
and
so
he added on to the house himself, so he is so attached to that
yes,
he is part of him almost.
Yes, it is. This is the thing. This is his beautiful garden that he built, and he
right.
may not feel he has energy enough to walk on. If he gets a good sum of money for the house, he may feel he can walk on, but he's put a lot into it.
Mm-hmm.
And the third card is a card that I would advise you to take into consideration. It's called the card of justice or balance. And this is a card of compromise. And it shows a woman with a sword in her hand, upright, and she has a balance beam scale. And she is saying, you will get what you want, but don't pursue, don't force it, don't push, just
mm-hmm.
restore balance. So do you own a piece of property yourself?
I have a home, too, yes.
You have a home, and you're willing to give up your home to go to a new home, but he's not willing to give up his home to go to a new home.
Right. But yesterday, I got him to actually look at a home for the first time. That was a huge step, but
good. I think you can do it. I think you can do it, but we're talking baby steps, and we're talking a firm marriage, and we're talking a firm financial underpinning for this thing. If there is a possibility that you could keep both homes and get rental income from them, that would make him secure. Or if his home was turned into a rental property and didn't need to be used to make a down payment, he is worried about money. I'm really seeing that is part of his issue, is he's just a little bit insecure, and he wants also to know that if that house of his was kept as a rental property, he can go back and visit it. And maybe if things don't work out, he could always come back. There's a lot, he's got a lot of sentiment. And I will say that Pisces people are sentimental. But it says here, compromise is your help here. Justice is good. And justice, by the way, is a card that always tells us that you will have to sign legal papers. We always say your name will be required to be signed when the justice card comes up. So there is something here that's going to have to happen. If you're not married now, you're going to want to maybe make a prenuptial agreement, because this is the card of justice, the card of court, and the card of negotiation and mediation. It doesn't mean anything bad. In fact, it always means good things. But you will have to sign legal papers. And so I'm looking at this as a favorable set of indications after a delay, but money will be involved. Legal, little tax have to be tacked down before you can get to it. All right, I'm going to turn this over to Papa Newt, and let's see how he reads the situation.
Hi, Andy. It's a pleasure to speak with you today.
Thank you.
I have to strongly agree with Ms. Cat with what you said. I have thrown out some bones here for you. And what I have is a cluster where I do have this beautiful deep red garnet bracelet, which is my course of action that needs to be taken care of, which Galangal root, Little John the Chew, which is about structure, legal, is laying right on top of it. So I strongly have to agree that, their needs, they're having that marriage or the prenuptial, having something there structuring will be very important. But on either side of this garnet bracelet, I have two very money-related items, especially in Southern folklore, which is I have an alligator's tooth, which is biting down to the past, the money that he put into this place, the passion and love that he has for this home and all the work that he has put into it, but also on the other side of it, and this is almost right next to the Glengold root, is an alligator's paw. So his focus and worry is the money that he has put into this place, his love and passion for this, but really, I would really, really work with him and getting structure into, talking about marriage, talking about structure into the future, so he can start seeing that this, and even getting this place into, like Ms. Cat even recommended, and I strongly suggest, is the rental property, because if he can easily find somebody to still rent it and take care of this beautiful place, he's going to start to let go and really start to move forward towards you.
Okay.
All right. Well, let's see what Conjurman Ali has to say, because your real question was, how can you give him that push? So we're going to give you some root work advice and some ideas of what you can do.
Thank you.
Thanks, Kat and Papa Newt. I think those were fantastic readings. The rental property, as Ms. McCat mentioned, I mean, right on the money with that. I really like, Miss Loretta was reading out your issue, and that's the first thing that popped in my mind. So I'm very glad that we're on the same page there. And she's right about Pisces. So there's a couple things that I want you to do. One is to get him to start listening to you. All right, he's a bit stubborn, and that's okay. Well, most people are stubborn, In fact, the non-stubborn people are actually rarities in the world, I would say. That's a, especially amongst, it's a bit of a joke for astrologers, because literally every sign are like, well, this sign is stubborn, and this sign is stubborn. So what I want you to do is do a working that will make him listen to you. You need to have as much power as he does. You need to get him to communicate and listen to you, right? Actually hear
right.
what you're saying. So take his photo, and on the back of it, write his name 3 times. Turn it clockwise, and in big, bold letters, I want you to write, listen to me 3 times so that you've crossed his name with your command. Take some commanding oil, and I want you to 5-spot this, meaning that I want you to put a dab in every corner and right in the center. And you're going to look at that photo, you're going to say his name, you're going to say so-and-so. You need to start listening to me. Respect my opinion, respect my feelings, and communicate with me. Hear me. Fold this up, place this into a jar. Put into the jar some rosemary to give you female power, but it's done in a peaceful way. Queen Elizabeth root to make you the queen. Get some licorice slivers. You can get these from Lucky Mojo. They're just perfect. You can write on them. You can also cut some licorice yourself and oil them. You sliver it. So it's got a little bit of a flat surface, and you write on there, listen, and pen. And you're going to add a couple of those. Put some rose petals in for love. Put some catnip to make you irresistible, and some dill seed to make you irresistible. Then I want you to take 5 rose thorns. This is just to prick him a little bit, right? To give it a little bit of an edge. Not nails, not needles, not anything harsh. Just a little bit to give him a little bit of a poke. And you're going to pray into that bottle, close it, and every time that you want him to do something, you're going to take that bottle and you're just going to shake it. You're going to shake it and you're going to hold it up and you're going to say, so-and-so, I told you that this is what we need to do, and you need to listen to me. And you're just going to keep doing that, gently shaking it. You're not putting a lot of aggression into this. You're not putting your hate into it, your anger into it, or your forcefulness. It's just gentle pressure. Okay? That's to get him to listen to you. But now to get you guys to move, okay, what I want you to do is get yourself an Adam and Eve candle, one for him, one for you. You can make these white or pink. White would be ideal here. Inscribe his name on his candle, yours on yours. Anoint it with marriage oil and love me oil. Now, you are going to set these at 2 opposite ends on your altar or table. Underneath them, I want you to place a picture of his home and your home. And in the center, I want you to put a picture of your idealized home.
Okay?
And then cover the altar with rose petals and basil. So it should be like a beautiful bed, sprinkling of them for love and peace. Okay? And you want to put a nice big pile of it right on the main central photo. And every day, you're going to light these candles every day. You're going to move them 1 step closer to that ideal home. You're going to do this over 7 days until the candles finally meet in the middle. You can place an overturned saucer so that the candles don't burn down and light the herbs and the photo on fire, but you're going to let it burn down. You're going to take that mixture, if you have a house in mind or property you're interested in, take the whatever wax is remaining, whatever herbs, along with the fold, the photo, make a small little packet of it, and bury it in the front yard of that property. Or if you don't have a place in mind, bury it in a potted plant. You place it in that plant, keep that plant alive, water it, pray over it, and say, I will take this plant to our new home, wherever it is. And it should be one of the first things that you place in the home, and you want to keep it alive once you've moved. That's my recommendation.
That.
2-part working, one to get him to listen, one to get him to move. I'm going to turn this over and open it up for Papa Doot and Miss Cat and see if they have any additions that they want to add based off of the readings that they have done.
Wow. That was really great. Papa Doot, do you have any? Did you have anything to add?
You know, I have done some influencing work, and more recently for my current roommate, and I actually do utilize a lot of influence work. just because he is of Latin origin, so he gets a little hot very quickly. So I like to keep that underlining, put a little bit on my hands and just be like, oh, can you do this for me? Or fixing his shoes, little things like that. I've been noticing a big change in changing their mind, especially when they're very stubborn like this.
So when you say fixing his shoes, you mean putting a little bit of some sort of influence powder in his shoe?
Powder in his shoe. If I have been out of that, I have taken just a very little bit of oil, rubbed my hands together, and just put it on the inside.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I'm gonna add on to that a little bit too, because you can use shoes to direct people and lead people to where you want to go.
Yes.
And so you could, for instance, say you see a house and you think you like this house. You can go there, drive by it, and maybe let's say it has a couple of gate posts as you go into the front yard, and or it has a path or mailbox or door handle, whatever it is, and get a little bit of attraction, look me over, and peaceful home type oils, mix them together. You can use cedar wood also. Cedar wood is great for houses. And dress that building. Now you're going to go back to your house, and you're going to take his shoes, but you're just going to take the toe end of his shoes, and you're going to put that same mixture on there. And then you could, if you want, put a little bit of hot foot under his heel. That's a little strong, but just I would do it. And say, well, now, honey, we're going to go look at this other house. And if you can walk there, so much the better, but if he's going to get in the car, that's good too, and you're going to go there, and when he gets there, as he walks, you see, he'll be walking toward the trap that's already laid, as it were.
Oh, wow.
You know?
Yeah.
You see? So the things I would say would be cedar wood, or you can use attraction, look me over, and peaceful home. Those are the types of things that I prefer. Okay.
Great.
And you can also use a little influence, and you can make your own little mix. You know, add a little bit of influence to that too. I think that you have a chance with him, but you do need to acknowledge his love of what he did, and talk to him about. You know, I feel for him a little bit because I know your age and I know his age now. He may feel a little tired that he can never do as good a job of fixing up a new place as much as he did on the old. So tell him, I will help you, and we'll have, you know, it's going to be wonderful. We can start fresh, you know, and we can do something really special. Don't focus on the negatives. Pisces don't like the negatives. Focus on the positive. Get their idealism going, and, you know, make it seem to him like a happy thing that he can do. And I loved what Conjurman Ali said about putting that in a potted plant and vowing to the potted plant, when we move, you are the first thing, you're in the first load, and we're bringing you to the new home, okay? All right, hon. Well, I wish you all the best. And if you need any more help, just go to the Lucky Mojo Forum, and we will be glad to answer any questions. All right, we're coming up on our break. And we're going to have another reading after that break. But in the meantime, we're going to go to our own Miss Loretta.
Thank you so much, Miss Kat. Support for this program is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com. And by the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners located online at readersandrootworkers.org. And by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of the Missionary Independent Spiritual Churches. Look online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time to go to the phones and to take our next client. And this is going to be Hawthorne from area code 215. Hawthorne, are you there?
I'm here. How are you?
Hello. How are you today?
I'm very well. Thank you for taking my call.
You're very welcome. Now, I see that you have never had a private reading with Conjure Man Ali or Miss Kat before, either about this issue or any other situation. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yes, that's correct.
All right. And Hawthorne writes, I was with my ex for 2.5 years and pretty much engaged and living as a family. We broke up in November, and I'm still not certain why exactly. He came back somewhat at the end of February sexually. He is starting to let me in a little, but not anywhere close to how we were. And over to you, Miss Kat.
All right, Hawthorne. Well, I'm sorry to hear about it. I'm all in favor of people getting together, staying together, and being happy for the rest of their lives, but it doesn't always happen. And when it doesn't happen, people often come to us for some help. So
yes.
I'm going to ask just a couple of questions before I turn this over to Conjurman Ali, and he will do your first reading. My first question is, about how old are you?
I'm 40.
You're 40. And about how old is your partner, your ex?
He's 27.
27. So we have quite an age difference here. That doesn't mean the end of the world. I myself am 14
right.
years older than my husband, and I do believe that Professor Porterfield is quite a bit older than his charming wife, and I think Miss Loretta could probably give us the exact number, but it's a large number. So so it can work. That's not going to be, you know, but sometimes it is a problem, and we're going to see if that is the problem, because that might be it. The other problem I always look for is, what is your sign of the zodiac, dear?
We are both Sagittarius.
Uh-huh. All right. I will say no more. I could say a whole lot, but I'm going to turn this over to my associate and astrological reader, Conjurman Ali. Take it away.
Thanks, Kat. I think we were both thinking the same thing when it came to that. I pulled three cards here, and the reason I say we're both thinking this is Sagittarius. Okay, a couple things just very briefly about the zodiac, right? There are some signs that if they date the same sign or they're partners with the same sign, it can work out. In general, you find that you want to find signs that are compatible, whether that's elemental, right? So people look for certain elements, earth and water tend to get along quite well, or opposite, surprisingly, right? So for example, the most famous example here, let's give a joke, is Kat and Nagashiba, right? These are opposite signs, Taurus and Scorpio. So those generally are what you want to look for. When two signs, some signs can get along with one another. For example, two Tauruses can date. It's not always a perfect match, but they're comfortable with one another. Two Sagittariuses can be quite problematic. In some ways, it can be exciting and interesting, and you stimulate one another. But Sagittariuses wander, right? And that actually comes up in your reading. The first card that I have is the Two of Swords. Here I see a young individual with swords crossed over her shoulder. She is blindfolded, sitting on the bench, and she is in this very barren landscape, right? And this tells me that you're kind of at a loss. You don't know where things are going. On one end, you do want to move on, you want to find happiness, but you also can't let go. Then this 2.5 years is a long time. And he has returned to some extent to you. But as a result, you're left in this kind of limbo state, a state that is not full of promise, that is not full of hope, that has no future. It is simply, it is what it is, right? And so the Two of Swords is really a card of being stuck, and being stuck because of your own internal emotion and lack of clarity. You are blindfolded, and so you're naturally seeking out a reading. That's a good first step. The second card that we have here is the Seven of Cups. Now, this is what I meant by wandering. Here's a man who's looking on a cloud, looking onto a mirage or a cloud, and on this cloud there are several goblets. Some of them have rich jewels, others beautiful palaces, some are serpents, and yet others are more insidious. There's one goblet in particular that shows the wreath of victory, but the goblet has a skull on it, meaning that it's poisoned victory. Another one has a monster in it. And in the center, there is an angelic figure, a Christ-like figure, that is shrouded. Just as you were kind of blindfolded, so too is he lost. He doesn't know what he wants. But the problem is that he's been distracted by kind of temporal or temporary fleeting interests. Be very careful, because I get a sense here that there are other people in the picture. He may not be clear about it. I'm not sure if you're aware of it. But there is. There are other romantic, physical interests that draw him away. And it causes his mind and heart and physical body to wander away from you. He doesn't know what he wants, so he kind of is tasting everything. And that leads to a place that is somewhat fogged and confused. Now, you have to ask yourself, do you want to be dragged into that? Do you want to have a physical relationship, a kind of hollow and empty, barren one that we saw in the Two of Swords, while he sorts his shit out, right? Something to really think about there. How long are you willing to kind of sit there and go, well, what about me, until he figures out that maybe you're the shrouded angel in the center, right? Maybe. The final card that I have is the Three of Pentacles. The Three of Pentacles is not a love card. It's not even a success or achievement card. It's a work in progress card. It's the only one of the Pentacle cards that it doesn't have golden coins in it. Instead, the Pentacles are carved into the arch of a cathedral as a stonemason works on the church. Two people watch on, the architect and the person who has funded it. You can rebuild with him. It will never be the same. It will not be the same as it was previously. Something will be lacking, and it will always be a work in progress that is never fully finished. But you will need the help of two other individuals, perhaps someone who will guide you spiritually, another person who's involved more as a friend or whatever. Two other people are needed here to assist you. Now, whether you should do it or not, that's entirely up to you, and maybe my colleagues have more insight in regard to that. But the cards are telling me, yeah, you can go after him. Yes, you can rebuild. But if you're hoping things to return to the way they were, that is not going to happen. And that's what my cards see.
All right. All right. Well, that's a very clear reading. I'm going to pass this over to Papa Newt, and we're going to see what he has to say.
It looks like Papa Newt was just accidentally disconnected. So we're
oh, my gosh. He posted in the chat room, lost phone connection, grabbing cell phone. So sorry. Well, while we're waiting for Papa Newt to come back, let me just give a shout-out to some of the people in the chat room. We had 51 people in the chat room, and among them, Aida, Alchemical Artisans Hour, Bone Shells and Curios is Michelle Jackson, Captain Conjur, Charles Bogan, Christy XP, and E.F. Still, Gimme an Ocean, a whole ton of guests with no names but just numbers, Jenny Lynn, John Wolfe, Jay Slosky, Miss Michael, hi Miss Michael, Navy Nurse, Nishka, hi Nishka, Onyx Star, Professor Porterfield is in the house, probably checking up on Miss Loretta, Psychic Mimi, readings by Evan, readings by Wen, Shalom Intimin and Strix, Susan Barnes, hi Susan, Sweet Woodruff, hi, Two Moons and Vicky Trancho and Caitlin Smith. So I just want to say hi to everybody. Papa Newt is back live. Let's get him back on the phone.
Yeah, sorry about that. So sorry about that. All right, Hawthorne. Let me grab my bones here. I came at a very unfortunate time to have the phone go off the air. So one moment, please.
Sure. I'm going to say while he does this is that a phone disconnect while doing a reading is a sign. And I take it often as a sign that the relationship has a disconnect that wants to be talking about itself. Now, not every reader will do that. They'll just walk on and say, let me get my cards together, let me get my phone together, let me get my whatever. But I find that more often than not, when there is a disconnect in the line, it's a little message. You ready to go, Papa Newt?
I am, and there, and I'm going to say the biggest thing that bothers me looking at this, I have a fossilized sloth dung that's laying right on top of my raccoon baculum bone. It's a very beautiful, smooth bone that has this shit, old, heavy shit that's laying right on top of it. Honey, I the sense that I'm getting from this is, you know, I really, he really needs to clear out some emotional problems, some past issues, and it's that's the biggest thing that I have. I just have these only two things that fell onto my mat, and he needs to get his head out of his, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, you have to ask yourself, is it worth the time to put into this? That's the biggest thing too. Is it worth the time to put into this, or is it time to move forward? So you really have to ask yourself that tough question.
Right.
Wow. Well, I'm going to say that is an interesting bone reading. Now, what our client may not know, fossilized sloth dung literally is, it's, you know, dead animal poop that it was fossilized and turned into rocks. And when you throw bones, not everyone has one of these or uses it, but it always literally means old shit, old things in the way. The raccoon penis bone is for love, sexuality, fertility, a home, happiness, all those kind of things that you would get in a relationship. So this is a past issue, and it's his problem. So I'm looking at these things, and as far as me going on to give you some root work, I'm going to try to give you some ideas of what to do. But I'm not too hopeful because the two readings were a little on the negative side. He has come back for sexuality. You don't know why he broke up. We did get the impression that there were some other people possibly or other choices involved. In other words, he decided to play the field and see if he could improve his lot better than to be with you. He didn't find what he was looking for. He came back to you sexually, but he's not ready to commit, and he's letting you in a little, but he's still got his tendrils out there brailing away at the other people. Do you see what I'm saying,
now,
hon?
Now, could it also be maybe his business is taking up a lot of the time?
I don't think so, hon. That's not what we got.
Okay. Okay.
We call it like it is, hon. If it was business, we'd have a whole lot of coin cards and a man juggling coins or people sailing across the sea to get riches. We don't get that. What we're getting is that there's something else going on here that's part of what it is. Now, if you want to think it's his business and think the best of him, that's all for you to do. So I'm going to give you some ideas here. First of all, if it's his business, I want you to give him a coin. This is a good way to get somebody, get involved in someone's business. Get a nice coin, something that you like. I tend to like Sacagawea dollars, but any nice, cute coin. Make a little mark on it if you can. Very subtly use a little dental pick, a little knife point, and put your initials on it where it'll never be seen. It's tiny, right? And you're going to use that coin to represent yourself. And you can rub that coin all over you and rub it where you find it, you know, kiss it or whatever, and make sure he gets that coin. And say, and as you give it to him, you know, maybe say to make some, you know, change or something like that, just give him that coin. Say, you know, I found this coin. It's a lucky coin. You can have it, but you got to keep it, hon. It's a lucky coin. If you can do that and get him to keep that coin, but you've preyed on that coin, when he touches this coin, he'll know that I always stand behind him in business, and if business is the problem, he'll tell me, right? I don't think that's the problem, but I'm telling you how to do it, you know, how to do
okay.
it. You give him a lucky coin, and you tell him, this lucky coin, you carry this lucky coin, you'll do well in business. Always think of me. All right, but I think there's something else going on here, and what I would do for myself is set myself a time limit. Now, I know a lot of people don't want to hear that, and you've invested a lot of time in the man, and it's going like that. But what I would say is make yourself a little list of what it is about him that he used to give you that you would like to see again, and set yourself a date. Now, whatever that may be, whether it's sex or sex of a certain style, kind, and way, frequency, whether it's gifts of flowers, whether it's a talk of marriage, whether it's a cuddle and a hug, whether it's evenings rather than just on the fly, whether it's letting you see his family, but now he don't, cut you off from his family, whatever it is he used to do, because you didn't specify. You said, we're not as close as we were. I want you to write down all the what you were, and then I want you to set a time limit on how long it's going to be. Now, you're both Sagittariuses. That comes up a lot later in the year. Do you know the date you met?
Yes, September 6th.
September
6th, 2013.
There you go. That's your date. I'd call it your date. Just keep it up and go and work on him until that date, okay? If he, on the anniversary of your having gotten together, has not made progress on your list, then take that list and burn it to ash, and take the ashes and scatter them at a crossroads to the four winds and say, thank you, God, for bringing this man into my life. I now release him. But in the meantime, you're going to work up until that anniversary there in September. Okay. So what you're going to do is you're going to put in some honey or sugar. I like sugar better than honey for reasons I will explain. You're going to put his name and your name crisscross of one another. You're going to round it. You're going to write love, 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 love. You're going to put into that paper a few things such as 2 Balm of Gilead buds. That's to make two people be together. 2 cloves, and I hope someone is writing this down in the chat room because I'm talking, not writing. 2 cloves, that's for friendship and partnerships. Cloves have a lovely scent to them. You can put in 2 coins, one from each of your birth dates, if that's a good thing for you. You can put in 2 rosebud, okay? 2 rosebud. And you can put in as many things as come in pairs that you like because you're both Sagittarius. Right, so you are like 2 peas in a pod. You can put in 2 dried peas if you want. And you're going to fold that into a little packet. Now, you're going to fold that packet in such a way as it will not come loose. And you're going to put that in your sugar. Bury it down in your sugar, and you're going to pray over that. Now, let him be as sweet to me. We're like 2 kittens in a basket, you know. We're like 2 rabbits in a hutch. We're like 2 sheep in a fold, right? We're like 2 horses out on the wild prairie. We go together, right? And like the old says songs, we go together like beans and cornbread. And you're going to bury it into the sugar. Now, when you have had that there in that jar of sugar, and you put a lid on that jar, and you're going to burn some candles on it. And you just, you can burn 1 candle every Monday, 1 every Wednesday, 1 every Friday. They can just be any kind of love candle, a little 4-inch candle in a holder. And you can dress them with Love Me oil. You can dress them with Return to Me oil and Reconciliation oil. Okay, 3 oils. Love Me, Return to Me, Reconciliation. And you burn them on a Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And when you do that, they'll shake that jar just a little bit. Now, be sweet to me. And you can open the jar anytime you want to. Open the jar and take out a little spoonful of sugar, and you can use it in cooking for him. Cook him some cookies. You can add more sugar back in. It don't matter. Just keep on adding sugar back in. Do not put any inedible oils into the sugar. Just a little bit. If you cook with honey, why, you can use honey instead of sugar, but it's going to be a little more sloppy. But either way, that's how you're going to do it. You work with that. Now, during that time period, up until your date in September, you're going to ask him 3 times and 3 times only, how do you feel about me now? How are things? How do you feel about this relationship? You feeling close again? Just ask him straight up. Don't right. brace him in a corner. Don't freak him out. But ask him 3 times. Listen to what he says. If you don't like what he's saying the first time, bail on it right then. If you don't like it the second time, bail on it then. If you don't like it the third time, let him go. Okay? Good luck to you. I wish you all the best. All right. That has been our second reading. Now we're going to have some network announcements and come back with Miss Loretta and then our free spell from Papa Newt.
The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, hosted by Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ali, Sundays 3 to 4:30. Candela's Corner, starring Candela Cambisa, Mondays 5 to 7. The Crystal Silence League Hour, hosted by John St. Germain, Tuesdays 5 to 6. In the Streets with Beverly Smith, Tuesdays 6 to 7. On Sacred Ground with Kai Armand, Wednesdays 5 to 7. The Now You Know Show with Professor Charles Porterfield, Thursdays 6 to 7:30. And Liquid Libations with Andrea Weston, Saturdays 5 to 7. All time specific, at 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at LuckyMojo.com.
And now it's time for our free spell from Papa Newt of PapaNewt.com in Columbus, Nebraska. Take it away, Papa Newt.
Thank you so much, Miss Loretta. What I'm going to present here to everybody is a little packet that's specifically focused with St. Expedite. This is something that you can keep in your home to work with, because I didn't really start out with much. If you can't get, if you don't have statues or anything, that's okay. Just work with what you have. But this little packet, you would want like a 4x4 red flannel square, and you just want to put a little pinch of basil. I really do, if you can get your hands on it, Lucky Mojo has it, it's Grains of Paradise, cinnamon chips, nutmeg powder, because we need it to be small. I do like little pieces of master root, because we do need to have that mastery when we need to overcome our procrastinations, and alfalfa. If you are able to find a metal, say an expedite, or not, a small cross would do. What you want to do is have the metal set aside. You're going to fold up the flannel towards you into a little square. I then like to, once it's all folded up, I like to take a piece of string, a white string, or I do prefer golden string. Well, I'll wrap it or towards me three times, pinch it, turn it to the right, and wrap it three more times. Then I will tie the string together to make the little packet. And while I'm tying the string, I will either put that little metal on the string and just tie it into place. This little packet I then do put in the middle between three candles that are anointed with either St. Expedite oil or Fast Luck oil. And I do keep a standard prayer. This came off the prayer card that I first received when I first started working with them. And it's just a very straight prayer, St. Expedite, honored by the gratitude of those who have invoked thee at the last hour, and for pressing paces, we pray thee to obtain from the all-powerful goodness of God by the intercession of Mary Immaculate today, or such a day, the grace we solicit with all submissions to the divine will. Amen. Let those candles burn, and you can use that packet. I like to put it behind either a picture of St. Expedite or behind my family photo, or because I do have a space dedicated to him, I like to bury this into a little palm tree, one of those little miniature palm trees, and offer that as a dedication, an offering to St. Expedite.
Wow, the palm tree is brilliant. I have to say, I've heard of many ways of making a St. Expedite thing, but you know he holds that palm. So what you're saying is put it in a potted palm. Wow.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. That is fantastic. That really does go with him. And, you know, he's a very loving saint of flowers too. So again, you can put flowers around on that altar as well. Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's an amazing thing. Now, I want to make clear to people here, this packet that you're talking about, could you carry and wear this on your person?
You could if you so desire. I have done it myself, and I've had clients do it before. You can definitely do that. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I do like to wrap this packet, because to me it's like, well, it's a saint item. My pocket might be dirty. I might wrap it up in a cloth, an additional cloth. I don't know. Because to me it's like, this is to a saint. I want to respect that packet.
So I hear what you're saying. So if you carry the packet, you would wrap it in a covering cloth.
Right. Right.
Yeah,
so
I hear you on that. Put it inside a cover. And we hear this also with things like jack balls. The cover is not the same as saying put the jack ball in a mojo bag. It just means use a bag as a cover.
Mm-hmm.
And this is very common, because you want to protect the packet that has its and respect its power. That's a wonderful note to say. I'm going to add something here, too. As far as that packet goes, one of the things that I know that people also like to work with St. Expedite is on their cars, because cars help you travel. And I have known people to take a packet like that for him and put it in the glove box. But again, keep it. You don't want to keep it all dirty and loose in the glove box. You just want to keep it in something nice in the glove box.
And I might have, you know, adjusted a little bit to put in a little bit of comfrey root, just that added protection for traveling.
Ah, yes. Okay, right. Of course, comfrey root is used to have
friendly that.
People as you travel. Yeah. And that would make a safe travel. That's fantastic, yeah. What do you have
that
to say about this, Ollie?
You know, I love packets like these. And it's interesting. When I was growing up, I saw these packets everywhere. So I learned from someone, right, hands-on training, hoodoo. And then I spent quite a bit of time traveling around and looking. And I saw these packets, both saint and non-saint, right, all over the place. And there were kind of variations on it. For example, the most famous one was in New Orleans. You had saint packets like Saint Michael, packets that were made, and these some were sewn, some were paper, and some were cloth. So there was all different types of them. But I kind of saw them decline also. I didn't see as much, I don't see as many of these saint packets, except in like botanicas or in Latin American populated areas where you have it in curanderissimo and these other kind of traditions, whereas in the kind of wider practices of saints, for whatever reason, the saint packets, at least in my kind of anecdotal experience, seem to fall out of favor for some reason. And maybe
can I just say that a lot
please.
Of people don't know how to sew anymore, and a lot of people don't sew their own
it's
clothes,
true.
And they just
it's
don't
true.
Know about sewing, and whereas in Latin America, a lot of people still make their own clothing. I'm going to just put a note in here. In the chat room, Mr. Troll said St. Christopher is also used for travel. That is true, too, and good for him to remember. And he also mentioned Gabrielle Swain, and that's a good lead-in, too. Gabrielle Swain is giving a workshop on sewing and the domestic arts in hoodoo at the workshop this year at the Hoodoo Heritage Festival of May 14th and 15th. And she will have everyone who comes to that will get a sewing kit with a needle and thread and a needle threader, and we'll learn how to do something to do with that kind of stuff. So if you want
to
make a packet...
What'd
you say?
The Black Folder. I think there's something from Lou Flores from one of those.
That's right. Yeah. Lou Flores has a Saint packet for Santa Muerte. In the Black Folder, that's so true. Well, thank you very much, Papa Newt. This is a lovely thing. And just a wrapped packet. Remember, wrapping and sewing are similar. And so what he's describing, wrap it three times, turn it, wrap it the other way, put the metal on the string, and then tie it down. That's a beautiful little way to make a saint packet. All right, well, let's turn this over to our announcer du jour, Miss Loretta Evans.
Thank you, Ms. Kent and Contraman Ali, and thank you, Papa Newt of PapaNewt.com in Columbus, Nebraska, for being our guest this week. We invite you to join us next week when our special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers will be Aura LaForest of AuraLaForest.com in Quebec, Canada, discussing magical and medical herbs for cold and flu. Once again, we've come to the end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Miss Kat via the Lucky Mojo form at form.luckymojo.com and Conjurman Ali at conjurmanali.com in Mission Viejo, California. I'm your announcer today, Miss Loretta Evans, joining you from the First and Second Baptist Church in Quimby, Texas. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Worker Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and the shows are available in archive via luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to thank you for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at this same time when you will hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Thank you, Miss Loretta. And for those of you who are fans of Miss Loretta Evans, she does have her own sub-show on the Now You Know show on Thursdays called Cooking with Miss Loretta. And if you want to know what to do with that old dusty crock pot in the back of your kitchen shelves, or if you want to know how to use that waffle iron you inherited from Grandma, you should tune in to Miss Loretta because she has the goods on how to cook. Lovely recipes, and love to have you here. Thank you, Miss Loretta.
Okay. Thank you.
And thank you, Papa Newt, for being our guest. It was wonderful to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Good night, all.
Good night, everyone.